Anybody ever buy a house before? Some people ever buy a house? Ever buy a house? Any real estate agents in there? Any real estate agents in the house? No, real estate agents. Not that I'm looking. I'm just wondering. So what's the unwritten rule in real estate? Location, location, location. You know it, right? You can buy the right house in the wrong neighborhood, right? In the wrong location, location, location. You can even remodel it, right? Inside and out. But for the most part, you can't move the house. Our psalm, probably written by some of the assistants that are in the temple, the son of Korah, and describes the wonderful city of God. Location, location, location. They're describing Jerusalem, majestic and beautiful. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain, beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Location, location, location. A city where God's presence is seen and felt. Mount Zion. That's how it is described. That's your first one. It's the city. The city. So I kind of wanted to make clear Mount Zion. The definition has changed and, you know, expanded over the course of many centuries as it was originally written. The word Zion first appears in 2 Samuel, probably around chapter 4 or 5, where David captures the fortress of Zion, which is now the city of David. If you know the city of David, where the city of David is, it's actually lower than the Temple Mount. City of David. Zion was that fortress in the city which was the most ancient and the highest point. Over the years, Zion became to stand for the fortress, also the surrounding area and Jerusalem. Zion is synonymous with Mount Moriah. Anybody know what happened in Mount Moriah? Abraham and Isaac. Zion expanded its meaning to include the temple. Zion was talked about long before there was ever a temple. And now the people that are writing this psalm are probably assistants working in that temple talking about how beautiful and how majestic and how wonderful it must have been and still is. And not just the city, but all the surrounding area. The mountain, the Mount of Zion, all the area. Not just the land either, ready? Zion is also referred to as the people of the land. The people of Zion that dwell there. The Jewish people, they love Zion. They love Jerusalem, the place where God dwells. Now, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, you know it's been built up and torn down and built up and torn down and built up and built up and torn down and built up and torn down and built up and built up and built up and torn down. And one thing only makes Zion so wonderful, so majestic, so magnificent. God dwells there. There may be a lot of other larger cities, but God dwells in Zion. There may be other cities, more fortified and taller walls, but God dwells in Zion. There may be other cities with more people and more food, but God dwells in Zion. There may be other ports with bigger harbors and bigger ships and lots of shops, but God dwells in Zion. No other city could claim the dwelling place of the Most High God. In the language that's used right in those few verses, the city of our God, his holy mountain, the city of our great king, God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, within your temple, O God. Now, when I read those few verses, there's no indication of location, location, location. Just that God dwells there. In that city, Mount Zion. It's the only place that is great because God dwells there. This is why the city is above every other city. God dwells there. New Life Alliance Church is great. Why? Because we have padded pews and the pastor's starting to grow a beard. New Life Alliance Church is awesome because God dwells here. This is Zion. This is your holy ground. Maybe we should have taken our shoes off as you entered into the sanctuary. This is a place to experience his presence. There's your next slide. This is a place to experience his presence. Beyond denomination. Beyond denomination, there is a Christ. I think one of the most impactful things I ever put on a slide for you guys one time was that, imagine, Jesus accomplished all that he accomplished and did all that he was able to do without the help of a single denomination. It's all about Christ. It's always been about Jesus, and it will always be about Jesus. This is the place to experience Jesus beyond denomination, beyond race. There is a Savior for all the world, beyond ethnic culture. There is a kingdom culture. God dwells here. This is a culture of love and a culture of harmony, a culture of grace, the culture of mercy, the culture of forgiveness, and the culture of unity. The presence of God dwells here in this place. Not in the walls, not in the padded pews, not in the air conditioning. He dwells in your hearts. For those that have said, come, Lord Jesus, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. God dwells here in this place, fully alive and full of power. I hope you feel him, and I hope you experience him. And that when you come in here, you don't say, woo, what a great pastor. Woo, what a great praise team. You walk out that door going, woo, what a great God. Where do you find the presence of God? Where do you find the significance of his being? The reassurance of his manifestation? There are places that would seem to be more holy than another, or at least there's a history to them. They become sacred. They have sacred meanings. The sanctuary set aside for God's good work and God's good purposes. Verse 2 reads that the joy of the whole earth, Jerusalem has a sacred meaning. Many people would not think so. Jerusalem has brought joy to the whole world, not because of its rich oil fields, not because of its rich gold deposits. Jerusalem has brought joy to the whole world, not because of its agricultural delights and its magnificent olives, not because it mastered the irrigation issues in a dry, barren land. Joy to the world, because this is the place where the gospel would be sent out to all the world. This is the place where God, Jesus himself, would be the Passover lamb. That God himself would sacrifice to be a ransom for your soul. The place the world would come to understand a new covenant. A great history, a great story, a great God occurrence. From Mount Zion, from the Holy Hill, Jerusalem, the Messiah would fulfill prophecy and present the message of God to the world of salvation. Joy to the world! Absolutely, that holy place. Joy to the world would also cause uprisings. Joy to the world would also cause wars. Joy to the world would also cause divisions. Would bring heaven against hell. Joy to the world, we'd send out missionaries all over the world. Joy to the world that would be found in you and me. Thank God there was joy to the world. Though others might not think so. location, location, location. God dwells in a sacred place. And where God dwells is the strongest place. And where God dwells is the most secure place. And where God dwells has the best views. You get the best perspective from where God dwells. Where God dwells, it sends the enemies fleeing, the scriptures tell us, trembling. Where does your God dwell? Where can you find him? Where can you encounter him? What reminds you of this great and awesome God? When other kings joined forces, the scripture tells us, they advanced together. And then they saw Jerusalem and they were astonished. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by the eastern wind. There's your next one, the enemy. The psalmist describes the enemy. Who are these enemies that are coming against Jerusalem? Well, there's a lot of debate about all of that. Is it real? Or is this just something he's writing? Do we apply a literal physical meaning, or do we want to apply a literal spiritual meaning? I would say this. I would think not in terms of one enemy. I would think in terms not of one enemy, but several attacks coming all the time. The enemy is constant. The enemy rallies together and comes against you and continues to come against you and continues to come against you. Even to this day, Jerusalem itself is under attack. Even to this day, the faithful where God dwells is under attack, literally, physically, and literally, spiritually. We can agree on this. Whatever and whoever the enemy might be, they come against God's people. And when they come against God's people, they will be put down. They will be put to shame. They will be terrified, they will be destroyed, and they will be cast away. We do not always know who the enemy is, but we know who the victor is. We can celebrate that, even if it means death. I asked the Lord to save me from my enemies. I started losing friends. And we know that even when the enemies join forces, they still fell away. You ever feel like the enemy is just coming at you from all sides? Like you're hemmed in, there's no escape, one problem after another problem, situation after situation, as if the enemy has gathered up forces to come against you. It's a cooperative power, an imitating army that wants to subdue you and oppress you, collective armies banding together, allied forces that want to take you out. They just don't want to take you down, they want to take you out. Can't get ahead. Always struggling, always stressed, always anxious, always hassled. Feels like all the time, constant, day in, day out. The enemy is relentless, darts and arrows. Just watch the media bombardment on your mind. The enemy can and he will try to get close to you. The enemy will try and advance against you. But when the enemy starts advancing and they see Jerusalem, they see Mount Zion, they see where God dwells, they're terrified, they're astonished, they're amazed, they're dumbfounded, they're confused, they're bewildered. They tremble with fear, and they must flee in Jesus' name. When they behold where God dwells, you are a dwelling place of the Most High God. You are unbeatable. You are victorious. You have an impenetrable force on you. You are inaccessible to the enemy. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's all about location, location, location. Where is this great God dwelling? Where does he dwell today? Within you? Is he within you? I ask that as a question that only you can answer. Because your parents can't answer for you. Your pastor can't answer for you. Your kids can't answer for you. It's you and you alone and you with a personal relationship with God that says, God, come and dwell in me. The enemy advances, but he cannot overtake you. The enemy peers and he takes a look at you and he throws darts, but he must flee. The enemy cannot overpower you. He cannot overwhelm you. The enemy cannot take your soul. Will you walk with confidence over your enemies? Will you strive to put on love in the face of evil? Will you exercise forgiveness even though you want retaliation? Here's your next slide. Will you surrender to God to defeat his enemies? Will you surrender to God to defeat his enemies? It takes your surrender to God, not to the enemy. Your surrender to God. Are your enemies the same as God's enemies? Or do you have different enemies? Will you stand strong in the face of advancing evil, recognizing the power that you possess and who you are in Christ? Let go and let God. The truth of the matter is you can't defeat death. God can. You can't overcome sin. God can. You're not going to overcome your shame. God can. You're not going to overcome your guilt. God can. You're not going to beat back those demons. God can. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. When you render yourself powerless, he assumes all power. Surrender to him. He will win the fight. Surrender to him and he will defeat the plagues. Does the enemy see a strong and united front in the church? Does the enemy see a strong and united front in New Life Alliance Church? Full of his power, full of his presence, a fortress, a citadel. Will you wear the robes of righteousness? Will you wear the robes of mercy and grace? Will you practice trust over suspicion? Will you practice love over hate? Will you make the devil madder than a hornet? And go to church. Make the devil madder than a hornet. Study the Bible. Pray. Soak the passage of Scripture this week. Come prepared next Sunday to have an encounter with the great and mighty God. Where does the Most High God dwell? What have you to fear from your enemies? What has got you so afraid? What has got you so worked up? What has got you so anxious? What has got you so stressed out? What's got you so confused? This world? Your kids? Politics? Money? Such temporary things. You are the people of Zion. You're the city on a hill. You're the children of the Most High God. Let your light shine into the enemy's camp, and the enemies will scatter. Take up your spiritual weapons and overcome this world. This is the moment to be changed by his power. There's your next slide. to be changed by his power. Broaden your mind. Open your hearts. God is alive and he's active now. Not 2,000 years ago, now, today, here, in this place, in you. God thrives in the midst of a storm. God provides in the midst of famine. Your God, our God, is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Sing it, church, come on. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. One more time, just you, come on. As we have heard and as we have seen, in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes us secure. Within your temple, O God, we meditate in your unfailing love. Our God is an awesome God. There's your next one, the praise. Praise in his temple. Praise in your house. Praise in your very own soul. We have heard and we have seen. I heard about the great things that you have done. I have seen the great things that you have done. We praise you for who you are. You dwell within the praises of your people, and we praise you here and now. You have made us secure. You have made us a dwelling place. You have held us up victoriously. We are not a forgotten people. You are a God beyond time. Our security does not rest in money. Our security does not rest in weapons of man, but in you alone. Our faith rests in you. Our hope rests in you. Our reconciliation rests in you. Our restoration rests in you. You, God, dwell in the city of our hearts. You make us strong. You deliver us from evil. May we be found on our knees at your feet, crying at the foot of the cross. And may we bring all that we are to you, leaving nothing behind. This is our testimony. This has to be our testimony. We praise his name, for we know he is an awesome God. And the psalmist writes very specifically about the fortress, about the temple, about the dwelling place of God. Walk. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Count her towers. Consider her walls, her ramparts. View her citadels. That you may tell of the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. There's a future. There's a future. The earth shall collapse. Things around us will crumble. The temple described here in this psalm crumpled many times over and built back up. Crumpled many times over and built back. Do you recognize there's always archaeological digs going on in Jerusalem? Why? Because it's layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. Destroyed and built up. Destroyed and built up. Destroyed and built up. So much like you, Mount Zion. Much like you. Maybe some of you have seen this before. I don't know. Have you ever seen a $50 bill? Not enough. Does anybody want it? It's a nice $50. Everybody wants a $50. Everyone wants it. Of course, why not? That's a nice $50 bill. You know, it's 80 years old. You still want it? You still want it? Really? Still want it? Still want it? It's crumpled. It's kind of Not very, right? Now what? Still want it? Still, really? Wrinkly, beat up, stomped on? Nothing I can do can change this value. There's nothing that you can do that can change your value to the kingdom of God, even though you're a little bit wrinkled. You're a little bit crumpled up. Been stomped on a few times. Yeah? You feel me? You understand what I'm saying to you? Some of us have been put through the mill. A lot. A lot. You still have value. Why? Location, location, location. God dwells within you. And God's view of you is wonderful. He sees you as a majestic city. He sees you as the Mount Zion, beautiful upon the hillside, full, ready, full, full, ready, full of His power. Are you ready? Full of His glory. Are you ready? Full of all that He has to offer into this world. The world cannot snatch you out of His hand. The world cannot change God's view of you. God, this world cannot change God's value that He places upon you. The God we worship is not concerned with stones and mortar and wood chips. The God we honor is a living God, dwelling God. And it's all about location, location, location. Do you know where God dwells? Somebody say it, in me. How beautiful, how majestic, how glorious you are. Bigger than the flesh, bigger than this earth, majestic over all the universe. Our God cannot crumble. Our God cannot deteriorate. He cannot erode, and He will not fade with time. He cannot be destroyed, and He dwells in you. I don't know what's got you so worried, but I know who you are. Do you know who you are? Our future is secure in a God that holds the future. My unknown future is in the hands of an all-knowing God. Oh, man. Talk about walking with some stride. This is not a psalm of doom and gloom. The people are to rejoice in this great God, a God that we can trust. Here's your next slide. And those who walk with God always reach their destination. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Just keep seeking, Jeff. Just keep going, Jim. Just keep walking, Keisha. Just keep searching, Kip. Just keep walking, Joseph. Just keep seeking. Just keep looking. Just keep reading. Just keep following after Him. This is a place. Here's your next one. To receive His promises. He's got boatloads of promises that He's made to you and really to Himself. To Himself. Promises to never leave you, forsake you, or abandon you. Promises to give you a bright future, to save you, to strengthen you. Promises, oh my goodness, promises of heaven. Location, location, location. This is a place to experience His presence. And be changed by His power and to receive His promises. Today is the day. Today is the day. Receive what He has for you. And walk. Speak, seek, love as He would. You are the location, location. Let me pray with you. Father, in this place, I pray Your Spirit move mightily among us. Fill us to overflowing, Father, that we recognize our identity in you, who we are because of you. And can we praise you enough? Can we thank you enough? Can we honor you enough? Thank you, Father. The battle belongs to you. And Father, as we surrender ourselves to you, we know that we are victorious in every part of life. We come before you with thanksgiving, with praise, and with adoration. In the name of your Son, amen. God bless you.